Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, November 6th. Happy Resurrection Day. I'm reading from the New International Version for the New and the Old Testament, and then in the Psalms, I'll be reading the New Living Translation. We pick up at the end of the book of Ruth today in chapter 4, verses 13 through 22. The title in my Bible says, Naomi Gains a Son. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Then it moves on to the genealogy of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, Boaz was the father of Obed, Obed was the father of Jesse, Jesse was the father of David. This passage is so encouraging because Naomi is not left without a guardian redeemer. In fact, the women who surround her in this passage praise the Lord for this very fact. And similarly, we haven't been left without a redeemer either. The ultimate redeemer, our Lord Jesus, comes through David's line, and David would be Naomi's great grandson. And so we see that the Lord is working behind the scenes to make a way for the ultimate redeemer. So these are foreshadowings of what God does for us when he brings someone who does for us what we cannot do for ourselves, frees us from sin, and provides us with sustenance daily. Okay, let's move over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm chapter 6. There's a new function in the website. If you're reading along on the website, you can now click on Psalm 6 and see it in the New Living Translation, since I'm reading from the New Living Translation during this season. For the choir director, a psalm of David, to be accompanied by an eight-stringed instrument. I'm kind of curious what that eight-stringed instrument is. I'd like to see a picture of that. O Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your rage. Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. For the dead do not remember you. Who can praise you from the grave? I am worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. Go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. May all my enemies be disgraced and terrified. May they suddenly turn back in shame. Alec Moyter, in the book Psalms by the Day, points out that Psalms 3 through 7 are a unit. Perhaps they all belong to the time of Absalom's rebellion. And a very fundamental lesson emerges from a simple observation of these psalms from Psalm 3 to Psalm 7. Of the 55 verses in these psalms, about 15 are devoted to the enemies and their threat, but 30 are truths and thoughts of God and descriptions of prayer and praise. In whatever form trouble comes, the hostility of others or circumstantial problems and tragedies, its tendency is to drive us inward, to make us retire hurt, and urge us to find some corner in which we moan over our lot. But David doesn't say, forget your problems. Instead, he outweighs the problems, hurts, and sorrows, whatever they are, by the great truths about the Lord and by the practice of prayer and praise. And so here in this psalm, we are reminded of God's compassion. In verse 2, have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. We're reminded in verse 4 that the Lord is our rescuer. Return, O Lord, and rescue me. And then in that very same verse, we are reminded of God's unfailing love. Even when we give up on the Lord, He does not give up on us. We move now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. The title in my Bible says, The Certainty of God's Promise. And in this section, I want you to be looking for a metaphor of who Jesus Christ, our Lord, is for us. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, He swore by Himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Did you find the metaphor I was talking about? You're right, the anchor. It says here, let me see, what verse is that? 19. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. Our Lord Jesus has entered into the most holy place on our behalf. They're going back to the Old Testament, where once a year, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people for their sins. And the author of Hebrews is saying, Jesus has entered into the Holy of Holies, but not only that, He put an anchor there so that we have this opportunity, this unchanging opportunity to be in the presence of God. And we have this great hope that because of what Jesus has done on our behalf, we can be in relationship with God the Father. Will you pray with me? We thank you, Lord, for the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us to fix our eyes on Him. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have that you hear our prayers. Help us to lay our prayers before you and to wait expectantly for an answer. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in the story of Ruth that you provided for Naomi, a kinsman redeemer, and you provide for us a redeemer as well. Be with my brothers and sisters on this Sunday. Bless them with rest, I pray, and with worship in a communal way, if possible. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, and we praise you, for you are our creator, sustainer, and redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.